May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, we began a new sermon series that focuses on biblical characters who were called by God at different times. Their call and their times, in many ways, resemble ours today. The intention of undertaking this study is to see how we can, by studying their lives, their character, their activities, perhaps hear the voice of God in the ways He might be calling us today. And I wonder if in your own personal life, you've ever had an occasion to cry. Have you ever been in a situation where, without any form of plan, of course, you hadn't even thought about it, and suddenly tears are dropping down from your eyes? Perhaps personal situation, or maybe situations you've seen in the lives of other people. Today, we are taking a look at Gideon, the fifth judge of Israel. The judge here is not like the judges in courtrooms, but he came as the fifth judge, as the fifth leader who was appointed by God to lead the people of Israel. Because at the death of Samuel, at the death of Joshua, rather, the kingdom had been established. And throughout his own generation, Israelites obeyed God. They listened to the voice of God. But when he died, they had no king. And at different times, God was raising individuals to lead the people of Israel to reclaim their lost territories. And for many times, they were sinning against God, and God was always sending prophets and raising leaders at different times. Gideon's name means he who calls down. And if you read on the book of Judges, you'll see more about why and how this name played out in his life. And Gideon is listed in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, among the great heroes of the faith. And he deserves to be listed there. In fact, he became a champion by taking 300 men against their oppressors, which numbered over 120,000 sword men. In fact, he wanted to go with 32,000, and God took him through a test, and he said to the armies, "If any of you is fearful, let him withdraw and go back to his home." And 22,000 left. And he went on with that until they came down to 300 men who went out for the war. God was showing him that God does not save by number. God saves by the might of his power. Gideon did not begin his life as a great man. In fact, he wouldn't have probably been chosen by anyone to undertake or to lead this assignment. But God, by his power, by his spirit, raised him up as a great leader to save a nation. Gideon was called to be a judge during a time of intense trouble in Israel. The land was held hostage. The nation was suffering under the grip of the Midianites. They watched helplessly as their land was stripped, their homes destroyed, and their lives threatened. In fact, their condition is summed up in verse 6, where the Bible says that they were impoverished. Indeed, the people of Israel felt as though their nation and their lives were over. They had given up hope. In some ways, We live through times that resemble those of Gideon and Israel. We are living in days of economic uncertainties, with the discussions on Brexit, Brussels, and Westminster. Days when the government and society are growing increasingly hostile to the things of the world, where the church is increasingly being put on the margin. Days when it seems that there is little spiritual power among God's people. Days where there are scientific speculations about the future of our church, about the future of Christianity in the West and in our country. Days where it appears as if we are becoming increasingly helpless. Where it appears as if that the best we do is not near enough. Days where it appears as if some churches are running out of funds and are increasingly becoming unsustainable. Israel's main problem was that they counted God out. They thought they could do it on their own. However, they cried out to God. They cried out to the ever merciful, ever loving, compassionate God. And in verses 7 to 10, the Bible says that God sent them a prophet that came to remind them of the Lord's grace in their lives and to call them to repentance. Again, God being a merciful God sent an angel who met with Gideon. Gideon was in the wine press where he was threshing with. The Midianites did not know where Gideon was, where he was hiding at the time, but the Lord did. He was hiding away to thresh the wheat so that the Midianites would not catch him. They never knew. He succeeded in hiding away from them, but God knew where he was hiding. God had his eyes on Gideon the whole time. As God's people, we were comforted knowing that the Lord is with us in every situation, through every valley, and across every mountain. Indeed, Gideon could not see it. He could not even sense God's presence. He could not sense God's plan for the nation, but God was working out God's eternal purpose for the nation and for his life. The story of Gideon teaches us to focus on who God says we are instead of who society says we are. We cannot allow ourselves as God's people, as God's congregation, to be defined by outsiders. We need to be defined by what God says we are. We need to pay attention to who God says we are. Gideon was a man who was so afraid of the enemy that he was hiding behind a wine press. But God looked at Gideon and said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you." Gideon could not understand why he should be addressed in that way because he was afraid. He acknowledged his limitations. He knew he was down afraid. But God looked in him and saw more of the virtues, more of the potentials that he was carrying. And called him, "You mighty man of valor. You great man." Although he never believed that, although they had prayed and cried out to God, you know, sometimes we pray and we are always surprised by the ways God answers our prayers. By the kind of strength that God imputes in us, the kind of courage he gives to us to face up with the challenges of life. The Lord saw what Gideon would be when he got through with him. In his society, Gideon was a nobody. His family was the weakest in his tribe. He was the least in his family. Gideon was saying to God, "I can't do that. I can't be used. I am not fit to be used." Do you ever feel like Gideon? I do, in case you don't. But God's word to us this morning says, we should not be filled with fear and a sense of our own inability. Rather, we should focus on what God says we are. God can use each of us to accomplish extraordinary things for his glory. Things that we do not imagine can ever happen through us. Apostle Paul reminds us in where we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26, verse 26 to 30, that God invites and includes those who would normally be excluded. God wants us to daily recognize that we have nothing to brag about before him. Rather, we are completely indebted to him. We need to trust. Courage, brothers and sisters, do not stumble. Though the days may be as dark as night, there's always a light for the humble. Trust in God and do the right. This story of Gideon again reminds us that God is faithful when we are faithless. Like Gideon, maybe you may feel that you have a very small faith. Maybe a faith that feels like nothing at all. God has given each of us mustard seed faith and is patient with us. If you read on in that book of Judges, you see how God gradually worked in Gideon. God did not blast at Gideon for his weak faith. Rather, God patiently worked to grow Gideon's faith. God knows right where Gideon was at. Again, God knows where we are in our own faith journeys. God is patiently working to grow our faith. And God is faithful to help us grow even when we feel like we have no faith at all. There are times we feel frightened at the look of the faith of other people. God is inviting us to use our mustard faith. Trust in him. Trust him for the impossibilities. Moses, as we studied last Sunday, again felt this sense of call and again saw himself to be inadequate. And last Sunday, we reminded ourselves that God is not looking for the able. He's looking for those who are available. Because in availability, there is ability. God is patient to work with us and work through us to make us the best that we can possibly be. And when I felt the sense of God's call many years ago to full-time ministry, like Gideon and Moses, like you, I felt and I thought God was pointing to the wrong person. I felt this was not just the kind of thing I wanted. I felt I wanted to be at the back and maybe walk from the rear. But God, through his mercy, walked patiently with me through my resistance into being a minister, and very soon it will be 17 years since God began this work in my life. And each day I am humbled by the great opportunity and the privilege God gives. We may not be called to become ministers, but we know that the church is not about the minister. The church is about God's people. We are called into different areas of ministry. And our ministry is not just limited to what we do when we meet in the four walls of the church, but taking ministry beyond here to our workplaces. Martin Luther said, the world is my parish, when they refused him from preaching in the cathedral. And so we see ourselves as priests, as God's leaders in communities, in the places where we serve. I am confident that God is able to raise ordinary people like me, like us, to do extraordinary things. And God can use us as we open ourselves to Him. We will see extraordinary strength. I shared this story some time ago. One of the days I was going to take a funeral service, and I was in the vestry. And when I left, I just thought it was warm. But when I left the vestry, I didn't wear my jacket anymore. And I just caught cold. I was just shivering, but people never realized it. So because I had to take the service, I came up here, and I knew I was shivering. I was managing to make sure I spoke well. I didn't know if I did. But at the end of the service, people said, "That was a lovely service." And I said, "Who are they referring to? Who took the service?" And that is what God does. Because as far as I knew, I was not in the best place for that service because I was really shivering. If we open ourselves to God, God can use us to be a blessing to the world, to be a blessing to families, to be a blessing to nations. We cannot resign to faith. We cannot fold our hands as a congregation because scientists say there will be no Church of Scotland in 20, 30 years' time. They said it before the 19th century. They are still saying it. We cannot fold our hands. Our fathers and our mothers had it, and they put in their very best, and that is why we have a place of worship today. Let's go forward in faith, in courage, and in trust. Amen.